Accession number 16720, Bob Wilson, Reel 3.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 3. We were talking about the men in your own little unit in the depot, Mr. Wilson, and you said there was basically mining background. There'll be many different personalities in the room.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Were the men who were really taking army life difficult, that you had to assist in some way, encourage?
I think everybody felt the same as I did. Lost. It might be wrong to say that, but I felt lost for the first week. I really did. But never mind, persevered.
You said you were basically became great pals and you helped each other a great deal.
Yes, we did. Everybody did.
Had you had a medical when you first went in?
Yes, that was the second day.
What form did that take?
Oh, that was a thoroughly. I must have been thorough. You know, stripped of heart, you know, blood pressure, eyes, ears, nose, everything. And those days, you know, you see them on the telly, this running thing. You try that for your heart, you see.
And you passed out okay, obviously.
Yes. I was a fit lad, really. And of course, the first thing they said, I nearly got it, I'll tell you about it later. Do you play any sport? Said, I'm very keen on football, Sergeant. The sergeant was Norman Ross. I met him years later. Ah, football, yeah. Are you good? That's it. I said, not bad at all. Well, it wasn't. And that blew me on from it. Right. And I reckon if I'd taken any notice of Norman Ross, I could have stopped at the depot when my train was finished and played football. And got a job, maybe say, it didn't matter doing the toilet, it didn't matter what it was, but I could have stopped there and made, you know, that would make me life. But that wasn't for me. But once I got that first week over and realised that I wasn't going to give in, sort of thing, then I settled down a bit.
You said the first week you were busy with receiving things, getting instructions.
Yeah,
and so
getting
forth.
Organized, really, and getting in the routine. That was the thing. What you had to do in the morning, what you had to do in the afternoon, and what you had to do at night time. Yeah.
What time did you say Revali was?
6 o'clock. And you were up at 6:01 as well.
What was your first task when you got up?
First, I was to. If it was the summer, you used to go in your pajama, great big woolly blue and white pajamas. Have you seen them? Hideous the world. But either I'd pull your denim trousers on, you see, and fly down to the wash house, washed and shaved, you see, and back again, bed made up, ready for breakfast.
What time was breakfast?
Breakfast from 7:30.
Did you parade to march to the
breakfast? At the depot you did. At the depot. Yes, the Lance Corporal used to form you up downstairs at about 7:25 and march it to the dining hall. At the depot.
What did would you get for breakfast?
Well, of course, you had your knife, fork and spoon, your plate and your mug. So you walked up and you got slopped in your mug, liquid. It's hard to tell what it was, but it was supposed to be tea. Then you went up with, two plates. You went up and you got your porridge, like cement it was. And of course, later on, when you got down to the battalion, you used to buy yourself little tins of cream for your porridge, you see. And then you used to get on the other side, on the other plate, maybe bacon and egg, sausage and egg. And then you used to go down and sit at tables that were laid out in the dining room and eat your breakfast.
Bread and butter?
Bread and butter, yeah. Two slices.
Was it well cooked?
Was it?
Well cooked?
Oh, the meals was all right. I mean, meals was all right, yeah.
When you completed your breakfast, where did you wash your utensils?
Then you went down to the, just outside the cook house, where there's two great big tubs. Outside the dining room, there was two tubs. Hot tub, two hot water tubs. You used to wash all your... There was nothing left on the plate, you see. There was nothing on there to wash. But if there's any scraps, you used to scrape them in a thing beside the tub. Wash the plate out, rinse them in the next thing, and then take them back to... Fall in, and then march back to... This is in the depot, mind. And then get your march back to the... The barrack room.
What would follow breakfast?
What
came after breakfast?
What came after? Then that'd be the first parade. And it didn't matter what was you, of course you used to have on your notice board the parades for the week, you see. And generally the first parade was in the gym. And I could never understand that, you know. Why they waited till you had your breakfast, then go into the gym. I thought it would be another way around. And what was said that? Of course, I'd been going on for years. But I had breakfast first and then went into the gym. And I would have rather had went to the gym than had my breakfast. But I enjoyed gym work. Of course, I say I was a fairly fit lad.
Who took you for that gym work?
At the depot, a chap called Corporal Machen. He wasn't a PTI fella as we know them now. He was in the DLI, but he was a fellow who'd been on the PT course. Came back the devil, and that was his job, putting recruits through, you know, on the bars and on the vaulting over the horse, you know, and on the ring and on the parallel bars. But I liked it. And it didn't come any much of a hardship to us, you see. But I really enjoyed it.
How long would that last?
Oh, that was a three-quarter hour parade, that one, on the morning, three-quarter hour.
Then after that you parade for something else?
And you used to have a quarter hour break. What? Out the, no, after the gym was a half an hour break, sorry, because then you were allowed a shower. So you used to go into the shower, get showered down and back there and dress whatever parade you were on. See, you, of course, you knew what period you were on, but you were always dressed in denims at the depot, you see. And you used to go out, and you might have to go out with your rifle, or maybe without a rifle, only if I put you on.
At what stage did they give you a rifle to train with?
They gave you a rifle after the first fortnight. You went and drew your rifle the first fortnight. And then the first 2 days, we was explaining the rifle to you and things like that. And then you're demonstrating how to drill and how not to drill.
So the first fortnight, your drills would be basically the basic drill of marching and changing direction, was it?
Well, the first fortnight was really, I used to call it information. I used to tell you how to do it, and, you know, how to do it, and... what can I say? And when to do it. That was the first fortnight. Then the start of sort in the third week, minutes. Then you go on to the square and they put you through your pierces.
How did they teach you your drills? What system did they use?
Well, it used to be Nazi unity squad, wouldn't you? Medicine squad. And the first demonstration was always the corporal. The Lance Corporal giving the corporal an order and showing you how to turn right, how to turn left, how to stand at ease, you know. And the sergeant used to be borne out the order. He used to watch them. That was Shamley month. And then your turn came. So you used to do that for about 10 minutes. Just the one thing, right turn, left turn, stand at ease, attention, you know, how to bring your leg up and how to... It's a 45-degree sort of thing. Your thumb down the seam of your trousers, you know, they used to tell you them sort of things. And then you used to do it. Once they had demonstrated to it, they never did it again.
Did some men find it difficult, knowing their left from their right?
Yeah. Lots of people with two bloody left feet, you know. I don't care what service you're going. Lots of people. You know, left leg and left leg. And they couldn't get out of it neither, you know. It doesn't matter what they did. You know, there's a kick off for the, you know. And it was laughable. It wasn't laughable, you know. The poor lad was practically in tears, you see, and he was getting bawled at.
Did you do it to numbers, so that you all did it at the same time?
Oh, yeah, well, that came when you got to know how the drill. Of course, when these corporal was doing the demonstration, they were all shouting, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know. And you were told how the 1, 2, 3s came in, you see. And that's how you learned to drill. You did it by numbers.
So you'd do this drill after you'd had your half-hour break in your shower. You'd do this drill. What was after that?
Oh, well, it all depends what was on the programme. It could be field craft. It could be map reading. It could be educational.
What was field craft exactly?
You should go out there and camouflage yourself up. Things like that, you know. You should take you out on, because in Fenham Barracks, I don't know whether you know Fenham Barracks here, because there's a great big boo behind it, isn't there? Well, there was. I don't know where it is now. And they used to take the others and say, now go and get hid. Or maybe they would say, go and find Corporal Gray for me. They used to look all over, well, he's not there, but he was there, because he was camouflaging. I mean, they'd been doing it for years, you see, and things like that. And then eventually, later on, it didn't do much of it, but you went on the moors at night time to march, to go from here to Old Normans down the street in the dark. See? It's funny that, how you can deviate off your track. But it was interesting, and you always finish your parades sweating.
Was crawling that part of your field craft, crawling through the undergrowth or whatever?
Pardon?
Crawling about, was that part of your...
Oh, that was part of the field craft later on when you got to know what to do, you see. And that's what I was saying, you know, going from here to here. But you couldn't just walk, you had to crawl. Because you happened to be seen by the enemy. But that was a little bit advanced, you see. That was more than after the second week, you see.
Did you have a morning break for tea?
Tea time, 10 o'clock time. Used to get a, as I say, you started work, you see, your breakfast was 7:30, and you started your plate 8:30. So you had to go at 1 o'clock for your dinner. And you got your, your 10 o'clock or your 8:30, whatever. It had to fit in with the your programme, you see. Then you marched on the Cuckoos, and there was a tin of a great big... What do they call them things now? Holds the tea. There'd be tea on or something like that, you know. Either filled with coffee or cocoa. And it was vile, it was. But you got your mug of coffee, you see, and then those that was careful and didn't smoke when they had, their sugar lumps, you see, to put in, see. Makes things easy. And you had that. But, oh yes, and a biscuit. But it wasn't a cream cracker, it wasn't a custard cream, it was a cream cracker. Hardtack. And you got that, had that, it was a quarter an hour break, and then washed your mug up, took it back to the barracks, and then you fell in for your next parade.
Which might, as you say, have been...
It could have been anything.
Lunchtime, what time was lunchtime?
Lunchtime, 1 o'clock.
Were you again paraded and marched to the...
Yeah, at the depot, at the depot. Everything, whenever you went anywhere at the depot, you marched in formation. And you marched shouting numbers out and all the time. Yeah.
What might you get for lunch? Or dinner?
Well, a mashed peas, stewed steak. There's a different menu on the thing. Sausage and mash, toad in the hole. All sorts of, you know, wholesome food. Now, nothing posh, you know, but wholesome. And you ate it all, you know. You didn't leave anything on your plate. You ate it all. Because you were famished. And you'd been doing a lot of work.
Was this done on the cafeteria system where you lined up and moved along the tray, putting your stuff on the tray?
No. Two meal orderlies, there was two meal orderlies at each table. And they went to the cookhouse hatch and great big dixie of sausages, dixie of chips or something like that, you see. And the plate was passed along and they used to slap it on there and they used to pass it down the table. And the dishes were put down to the bottom of the thing and then they used to have the breakfast and take the plates out and any scraps on them used to go in the dixie. Two orders to take that back to the cookhouse. And of course, all that went into a swill bin, as you know, in which the people used to come down and collect. It was a proper contract, of course.
Was it fair, the way it was dished out? Did everyone get a reasonable amount?
Oh, everybody got the same with a hat, or else there was hell to go. If you got two sausages and only got one, I won't know the bloody reason why, yes. And of course, I'll stop being greedy this, but maybe you didn't like sausages, so you wouldn't have them. But they would give them to your mate, you see.
Did the two people who were serving, did they change round every day or week or whatever?
Oh, yes, that was only a one-off thing, you see. The Hans Corporal used to say, Wilson Jones, Table Audley. You used to go to the cookhouse and get your dixies back to your table. That's all you had to do, and take the dixies back. That was finished.
Did you get a dessert with the meal as well? As
oh, yes, yes. Spotted dick, custard, and prunes. Prunes was the favourite, or rhubarb. They must have went through millions of tons. Rhubarb and custard, prunes and custard. That was laxative, you see. That's all it was for, to keep the bowels moving. Rice pudding. All posh dear, that rice pudding. Yeah. Oh, yes. Always got an actors. Yeah.
What would you do in the afternoon?
With parades. At the depot. See, the depot was different to the battalion, you see. At the depot was all parades until 4:30. You start them on 8:30 and 4:30, with the exception of an hour, you have 7 hours parades.
Did you again get a tea break of any kind in the afternoon?
No breaks in the afternoon, no.
So 4:30, you'd be finished with your parades. What happened to you then?
Then you went back to your barrack room, you know, or wherever you were. And either get washed, then fall in for tea.
What was that meal?
Oh, that could be wasn't much. It was sort of a light tea. Egg and chips or something like that, you know. Nothing posh. And at night time at the depot, at 9 o'clock, one of the people out the chap that was, remember me telling you about the orderly room, the lad, he used to go to the cookhouse and get a great big bucket of cocoa and bring it back to the room, and used to go and have your cup of cocoa at night time. You might walk it up, never mind put you to sleep.
You mentioned a canteen or naffy there. Did you get the opportunity to go there at night time?
Oh, yes. Once you see, at the depot was entirely different. It took a hard thing. But you had to get ready before you did anything else for next day. The first thing you did after you had your tea was to sit down and either have a smoke, you know, and relax a bit, wind down a bit, and then get the gear ready for tomorrow and find out what you're on tomorrow. See? And get all your gear ready, you know, and always did your brushes at night time, didn't matter whether you wore them or not, you had to be done and hung up. And then if you had the money, you and your mate or whoever used to go to the canteen and maybe have a cup of tea and a sandwich or something. Really awful tea and a nappy those days, you know. No cafeteria service then. And there's some horrible bloody nappy girls as well. Go! Boxes there were. Would have good at it.
Did you get a chance to mix with your NCOs, corporals, lance corporals, after
oh,
duty?
No, that was taboo. That was taboo, that.
They didn't relax with you afterwards?
You could go to them. Oh, yes. Yeah. If you were in any doubt about anything, you'd go to lance corporal Welch, who slept in the corner bed in the bedroom, in the barrack room. You'd go to him and ask him a question, and he would never say no. Or the Corporal Grey would never say no. Or even Sergeant Ross. He would always go to them. Because Sergeant Ross was in Barry Quarters, you see. Fed him Barry. So you couldn't go over there at the Barry Quarters. But the corporal and the Lance Corporal, in the people that I'm talking about, you could go any time after prayer and ask him if you were in any doubt or anything.
And as you say, they always answered you.
They always helped you. I didn't like Corporal Welch one moment. I didn't like him. But he always helped you. Just his attitude. Just his manner, I think.
What time was lights out again?
10 o'clock.
And that was bed?
Now, you could sit on the end of the bed if you wanted. So as long as there was no lights on, you could talk. You could still do your brasses at night time. Because there was always lights from the Fenham Road barracks, you see, that was all lights in the prayer ground and everything. Lit your room up, you could always do your brasses there if you wanted to. But all that was done normally. And then came the big day when you were allowed out. You've probably been told it time and time again, I don't know, but it was a chore to get out the barracks. And you never got out first time. They used to say after you'd been there for a month, had to be there for a month, you would say, of course, your uniform was all done then, you see. Your putties. There was no anklets those days, it was all putties, you see. And you'd say to Hans Corporal, Corporal Welsh, is there any chance, Corporal, of going home for the weekend? No chance. How is it said, you know? Every time you ask, no chance. May I ask why, Corporal? You may not. If you speak in posh, you may not. And then this was hard. You know, that's going to Monday morning. And on the Thursday, you come down the same old tale, you know. But it was to everybody. I've reconsidered. Of course, it has been talked over with the corporal and the sergeant, see. And there's only 5 days allowed out this weekend. And then you'll have to go for another, you know, another month before you go out. But then you start getting ready on a Saturday morning. You couldn't go on a Friday night, you know. Your belt had to be spotless. You know, you dare to walk down to the guard room in case you're putting in the other one. And the corporal used to, you stand with the corporal, you support him. Private recruit Wilson reporting, and there's my pass, you know, and the pass and everything. And he used to look at you like that. When people go on weekend leave, they'll see the same thing each time. When people go on weekend leave, Wilson, they always do their brushes and their belts and their boots. Yours haven't been done. Well, I know they've been bloody done. I've done them myself. And I was there because I wanted to go home. Go and do them again. Now, this is true. So you used to go out, used to go back the first time I went back to bed, maybe crying. And Corporal Wells said, what's the matter? I said, well, can you see anything wrong with me? He said, no, you look quite smart, Wilson. Why, what's the matter? Well, I've got to go on back and blank on me belt. He says, just stand there for a quarter of an hour. Now he said, now go back to the guard room. It's the march of the guard. Why couldn't you do that in the first place? Now this was always the same, this is true. And I don't care which unit you're going to do, I bet it was the same. They used to learn your lesson, but it wasn't so easy just to walk out, you know. And you used to go back and just stand there. If you were impitting enough, you could have stood outside the guard room and walked back, you know, but you had to go back to the barrack room, you see, because it was to watch you. And that's what Cornwell says, so don't get downhearted about that. This is a little joke. If I pass you, because you had to peer in front of him, you know, before you went on. Actually, if I pass you, you're all right. Because I would tell you, because you wouldn't get out the barrack room if there was anyone. And I bet there's not very many people believe that.
Going out, as you say, for the first time, where did you go?
Well, I went home to Sunderland, you know, when Miss Swagger came down Barrack Road, down to the bus station or the railway station to catch a train for Sunderland.
Swagger came, what was that?
A little cane. You know the cane the officers carry these days? Well, it was just this year. We always used to carry one of them at the depot. Yeah. Swagger cane, you know, sing it like that. Come to an officer, pull in here, I don't know. And you had to swing it all the time, you know.
Yeah. Was this a tradition with the Durhams to have this swagger cane in the depot?
Well, I never saw anybody else with it. I don't know. Of course, I've never been to anybody else's depot. Yeah. But we had to carry it, and that had to be bloody polished as well, you know, as well.
Yeah. It was a cane, was it?
Oh, a proper cane.
Did it have some kind of
embellishment? It had a ferrule on the bottom and a brass top. The corporal, the man's corporal, they had a proper one, you know, as we call it, had a ferrule, but they had their daylight badge put on the, you know. But we weren't soldiers, it was one day by, so we were going at the devils.
When you went home for the first time, how did your mother receive you in uniform?
How did I?
How did your mother receive you the first day you went home, first time you went home?
They're quite honest, it was a couple of tears. And I asked her later on, why? And she said, well, I'll tell you this much now, Bob. She said, when I first saw you, I saw your dad. So the tears wasn't for me, she said, no way. And she always said that to us.
Was that one of the reasons why she was not keen on you going into the army, because of your father?
I think. I think she wanted me rather in the Navy, I think, as I've said before. I think she wanted me in the Navy, I think, because my dad was always at sea, you see.
How did the civilians treat soldiers in those days? Or what was their attitude?
Second-class citizens. He never got no favours from them, especially in the castle and round about Fenham Barracks. Of course, when I got home at the railway station at Sunderland, and he said, the march, you know, we're just taking kissing to be sawyer. And that's when I got at Seaburn Station, it was only from here to the bottom of the street from our house, you see. Because I got a house, off my uniform. Relax. He had to be back on the Sunday night, you see. He had to leave home at 9 o'clock, go to the station, catch the train to Newcastle, and either walk up Barry Road, which is about a mile and a half, 2 miles, or catch the bus up if you had the money.
How much did they pay you as a recruit?
Two bob a day.
And did you have to make an allowance?
If you wanted. Your mother wouldn't let me.
Was anything taken off for anything else?
Yes, there was a penny taken off for barrack room damages, as they call. Well, the penny was a lot of money. Eh? And if you have 30 penny, you have 30 pence. The penny was taken off every week for barrack room damages. No damage neither.